RevolutionRadioFreedomSlips.com, where you don't need to expect us. We're already here. And coming at you now, it is Evolution with Miss Eva Moore.
And our mystery producer, Mr. Stephen Travesty. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is November 24th, 2013. Tonight, I have a very, very special guest, Mr. Kiwi Vinny Eastwood. Thank you for being here tonight, Vinny. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Just like a kiwi, I too am fruity.
Well, you know what? Tonight is actually, it's a very meaningful show for me. You were brought to my attention April 4th, 2012. You did an interview with Bill, and this was before his arrest, and he did a great interview. You guys did a great job covering, you know, the whole SEAL Team 6, you know, cover up with the helicopter. And, you know, just recently there's been a lot more evidence coming out, or questioning, open questioning around, you know, whether or not bin Laden was or wasn't already dead before the, you know, multifaceted cover up and movie premiere production of lies that they tried to spin. Basically, Bill introduced me to you, and so he wanted to say hello to you. I saw him this morning, and I told him that you were going to be on the show and how great that was for me, and he said hello and thank you for everything, and that he was able to get his information out through you over, you know, 2 years ago. So thank you.
Well, I was probably just a tiny part of that. Bill went on a lot of programs, didn't he?
He did, but, you know, it helps when you get cross-pond representational.
Well, I guess so. I mean, no promotion's bad promotions, is it?
No. I wanted to state that I've been following you, and I remember he introduced you to me as the handsome Vincent Eastwood, and that you were like the Kiwi sex symbol of alternative media.
Well, if they're it.
I'd gladly
accept that title, you know, watching some of the videos of the other truthers in New Zealand who are let's just say they haven't had enough dress-collared shirts and shaving appliances donated to them by very generous listeners. And that's basically the only difference, you know.
Well, we're all living in Harbinton, man. Come on.
Yeah, you've got a real.
It's more like Mordor down here in New Zealand, man. Like, honestly,
that's where they filmed, right? They filmed there.
It's this giant volcanic astral wasteland, somehow situated to be the jewel of the South Pacific that the British Empire just loves raping very forcefully. And there's an awful lot of like natural parks and beautiful rainforests and everything like that. They're about to be cut down. And all of these nice clean oceans. All of this nice, beautiful, clean, blue oceans that are about to be mined for about deep sea oil. And we've got these wonderful forests as well that are having poison dropped on them because it's good for the possums. You know, there's just all wonderful masses of natural beauty that's been corrupted in New Zealand, and a wonderfully transparent government that isn't transparent at all, according to Transparency International New Zealand. Basically, here's how you want to understand New Zealand. You want to understand New Zealand, you've got to understand America. What's America? It's one of the big, beautiful countries, right? And you've got an awful lot of different variants between the landscapes. You've got all bunches of really, really nice people. And you've got a whole bunch of natural resources that the elite want. And so they dumb you down. They introduce a whole bunch of control mechanisms and policies and poisons and stuff into the environment. And then you're fracked, and then you're in their clutches. Basically, that's it.
Terraforming for some other species. 101. Yeah.
Well, yes. You know what? That's what transhumanists believe, that we're going to kind of somehow merge with technology, and that to be human would be about your access to technology rather than how human you are.
Well, let's back up here, Mr. Vincent, Mr. Sex Symbol Kiwi Extraordinaire. We What I want to try and capture tonight are the subtler sides of Mr. Eastwood. You know, much like Bruce Wayne and Batman have some coexistence, but one doesn't always get introduced to the same audience. So you kind of have this really interesting cross diverse way of showing up in the world. I wanted to go back though. You and I were speaking previously a few days ago, and you'd mentioned that you got into this about 6 years ago. So this is 2 years. So I met you into your fourth, well, vicariously met you into your fourth year. Can we back up a little bit? Can you tell us how you got started? What, you know, backhanded compliment forced your consciousness awake enough to want to jump into this arena? What was it that brought you into this? Because it takes a lot of dedication, and usually it's some kind of faceplant trauma that triggers the how dare you and the rise of a soul. So I'd love to hear your story.
Well, it's a story of desperation, of neglect, of absolute monstrous scumbaggery, you know, to be discussed for eons to come. Okay. Long story short, got busted for 13 grams of weed. And instead of going to jail for up to... And instead of going to jail for up to 8 years for 13 grams of weed for a first offense with no diversion of any kind at the age of, like, 20, luckily, the cops gave away my confession by not advising me that I had a right to remain silent before they arrested me.
Oh, you lucky bugger.
Oh, yeah. And it cost $10,000 worth of lawyer for my mother on a credit card, which she still hasn't paid back and has lost her house virtually because of it.
Oh, no.
You know? So I'm somebody who people look out for, but they often suffer as a result of looking out for me to a large degree. Especially
are you a Pisces? When's your birthday?
No, I don't think it matters because I'm a Capricorn. All right.
Oh, you're a Capricorn. Okay.
Yeah, Capricorns
in it for
don't
think.
Yeah. Capricorns don't care about star signs, and
star signs.
Yeah, like being a Capricorn, right, for example.
That's all right. We do. We care about you though, so we want to know. Inquiring minds.
If you say so. And
that's what happened after people don't care about what race they are.
Well, I have an uncle who says that he doesn't believe in mayonnaise.
Doesn't believe in it.
Like, he doesn't believe.
Nope.
Like, yeah, I didn't know that the existence of mayonnaise was part of somebody's belief structure. I mean, there's some crazy religions that deny all sorts of stuff out there these days. You know?
Well, let me guess. When the Anunnaki show up, he's going to be all for it, right?
He
doesn't believe in mayonnaise, but the Anunnaki, yep, they're coming.
I've never had a conversation with him about the Anunnaki, so I couldn't tell you.
You got to find something that he believes in, which is more absurd than not believing in mayonnaise. That way, it's a story.
He was a justice of the peace and like a former mayor of a decent chunk of the city, or councillor, or something of high esteem like that.
So let's ask. Wait, I got to get this in perspective too. What's your Chinese astrology? What sign are you in the Eastern?
You know, I
philosophy?
Thought you were telling me a story about 6 years rather than 5,000 years of Chinese philosophy history. All right.
Boy, this is important.
No, but maybe we're getting the point.
How
Confucius.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
Oh, wow. You're just a pup.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. I don't know why. Because I struggle to be taken seriously, you know. Surprisingly enough, you know. I mean, how could you not? And
I don't believe that. But anyways, go on.
Yeah. Well, I think this stems from my family as well, because I'm the youngest of five kids.
I understand.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So, in terms of getting attention or being paid heed of and that kind of thing, no. So naturally, I became a conspiracy theorist because it's familiar territory.
It's hard to find somebody who's really dedicated to you know fighting the conspiracies and the tyranny out there. You know, being a part of the alternative truth movement, everything like that. That is that young. You know, I'm 33, and I feel like a pup considering like. You know, the average age of my peers at this station, you know, and I feel like, you know, because I feel more like I'm 18, I always have, you know, and I feel like I more cater to such a young crowd. So, you know, 28 years old in this movement, it is kind of a gem.
Well, my appeal is actually predominantly, but according to the YouTube rankings, and I can probably project this over the percentages of the on-air and listeners and what have you, it's about 80% of my listeners are between 40 and 65. So the average listener is basically twice my age.
Wow. Mm. What was the age gap between you and your next sibling?
I don't know, a couple of years, like maybe three.
Okay, and is there more? Do you have how many?
I think my eldest sister is like 35 now.
Were they into like conspiracy stuff or like?
No. None of my family are really into this stuff. I mean, my brother's sort of. He's kind of on his way there. He studied chiropractic, which is kind of alternative.
Yeah. That's hanky.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had this faceplant trauma. You were harangued by the law. Now, at this point, did you start to investigate to the private side of law and business?
A friend of mine there had introduced me that year to Bill Hicks and Michael Rupert, I think, from thewilderness.com. He showed me a documentary called The Truth and Lies of 9/11. Mm-hmm. And also Michael Moore's film Fahrenheit 9/11 came out that year as well. So I was just kind of like, yeah, whatever media I got introduced to really influenced me really massively that year. And I watched documentaries about cannabis and had all sorts of different experiences with people down there. And, you know, I was basically a changed man. And by the time I got busted, I still believed in the system and I still believed that cops told the truth. And what was funny is that even though I admitted all the evidence against me, they still made up even more evidence because they couldn't bring themselves to admit that they used 6 cops, a dog, a couple of cars, and hours of police time to get a dude with 13 grams of weed on him.
Oh my god!
It was quite funny, actually. The guy in front of me was what did he have? He had sexual assault, resisting arrest, and he was growing 5 cannabis plants. All right, comes up for sentencing, 150 hours community service. I go up, possession of 13 grams worth of sale of cannabis. You know, possession for supply, 300 hours community service. And I was lucky that I didn't go to jail for a first offense. What the hell is wrong with the system? And that during that time, when you're arrested, your whole life hangs in the balance. You got nothing. I had my first panic attack when the police cut my necklace off. My mother gave it to me, greenstone and Māori culture. It's sacred. Connects you to your home and your heart kind of thing. And they cut that off and I had a full-on panic attack. My legs gave out on me. I went down, I was choking, I was kind of, you know, pretty freaking cut up. And these cops didn't care. They're just like, oh, snap out of it. You know, my legs wouldn't even work. They had to carry me around and stuff. You know, I was, I basically turned into a stone, more or less. They fingerprinted me and mugshotted me and everything. You just look at it all, it's just blank. There's no spirit there, there's no life, there's no nothing. I had to basically shut down in order to deal with this experience that I was doing, you know, like an animal in shock. Mm-hmm. It was quite horrific, and it taught me a lot about how you can make yourself a stone so that you cannot feel anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I just kind of got into
I've been
like
there.
You need to be able to have that skill because sometimes reality is a bit too much. And that's why I advise people to escape it as often as possible, preferably 5 days a week for up to 2 hours at thevinnieeswoodshow.com. Because.
Very well if you played, lose, sir.
Because if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. All right?
Well,
just
this is
because.
The thing. No,
just because the world is run by a ruthless bunch of criminal sociopathic motherfuckers that'll kill you, torture you, and rape you in your sleep and what have you, doesn't mean you can't have a few laughs about it. After all, it's just the end of the world.
Well, this is what I wanted to capture. Most people are familiar with your genius sense of humor. However, not a lot of them understand the very cathartic artist that you are and how effective you are at channeling some of that heaviness into an artistic expression. But I want to ask you one more question about the initial faceplant trauma. How long did it take you from that incident and having it come to a conclusion where you're released, free to go, and it's all done and said, before you started to put together that you wanted to become an alternative media person and start to document and speak out on the internet? How long did that take you to transition?
Well, from that faceplant trauma to getting into talk radio, that's actually a couple of years, because me starting doesn't mean me starting in talk radio, because I was a street activist before doing the talk radio bit. I was offered a show. Shoot, there's a whole bunch of plans of the stories, and we're never going to get through it.
just trying to see, like, so you were arrested, what, around 20?
Yeah. Arrested around 20, and then I took a year off, did some work off, did off my community service and everything like that, worked on vineyards in Waiheke, did some construction jobs and stuff. But after that, I think I then got a job as a salesman and went back to university in Auckland this time, you know, so it's close to home, not down in the South Island in Dunedin where you watch your olive oil freeze at room temperature. I'm not joking, by the way. What was interesting about university in Auckland is that it was after I'd watched all these documentaries and started to really kind of look into things just a little bit deeper, a little bit further, very gradually at that point, I started to realize that nothing that they were teaching me had any relevance to anything, and that it was boring and it was impractical and it didn't make any sense to me. And that it was really compounded for me when I did a anti-television discourse essay and used all the required reading to actually prove my case that television ain't really that good for you. But because the establishment's ideology is that television is good for you because it brings people together in a homogenous freaking soup in a single silo mentality, that it's a good thing, and therefore they gave me a D. And I was, this is the best essay I've ever written in my life. And I was like, this is BS. I'm getting the frack out of here. I'm going to start working at the salesman job even more. I'm going to make heaps of money instead, you know. Mm-hmm. Start making heaps of money. Become the number one salesman for 6 months solid, on the top of the boards. Nobody can freaking touch me.
What were you selling?
I was selling toll call packages. You know those telemarketer motherfuckers who call you up and then when you're having tea, and then they've got about maybe 30 seconds to get your attention in order to sell you something that you never heard of and probably didn't believe in before they started talking to you. I was that dude.
Oh, so that's how you developed your rapport. 50%. Your spoken word rapport. How to get your message in with a 1-2 punch.
Pretty much. You have a look at my phone records. We'd have these big printouts of telephone book pages, and you just run through the big blow up version and just cross them off or tick them if you sold them and whatever. And I averaged it out between the people who actually answered the phone. About 50% of those people who actually answered the phone said yes. The average was 1 in 16.
Very interesting. All right. So
now, because I was so good at that, they promoted me, but I told them that I didn't want to do sales anymore because I was sick of freaking always constantly calling people that you don't know, having no relationships or anything like that. I actually wanted to help train the other people to sell like I was doing, so I could make more money for the company. And they said, yeah, whatever, we'll give you this job as a business account manager. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sure enough, it was just another freaking sales job, except I was selling to businesses who were even less likely to give you the time of day. And so I basically just gave up on doing the work entirely because I told them that this wasn't what I wanted in the first place. So what I started doing is digging around the company, and I figured out that there's a hell of a lot wrong with it. And it almost every single employee has problems and gripes and so on and so forth. So I wrote a 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company. And just like when I wrote my essay about what was wrong with television, they gave it a second glance and they gave me a D, or in this case an F, which means fired. Within 5 minutes, you know, and taken down to the cafe next door, signed down a piece of paper, pay me 6 weeks' pay to leave that minute, pretty much. run up to my desk, grab all my stuff. Great, I've had a summer holiday. Then the missus got really effed off with me because I wasn't making any money and she had to make ends meet for us. So I went and I got another sales job with another bunch of stupid douchebags who were just absolute scum, who were paying me $15 for what another guy was paying me $180. So we went into business with that other guy who was paying me $180, except he was a psychopath, which means on a Friday night he'd give me a call, tell me to get up off my mate's couch, put the beer down, and go and grab a pen and a piece of paper in order to write down the number of a client to call on Monday. Wow. And he could have just texted me on Monday.
What did you take in school? What did you take? What was your focus when you first ventured into the world?
Mostly ecstasy and other hallucinations. You know? No, I'm kidding.
Yes. Okay, yes. So what did you take? What did you focus? What did you think you were going to do with your life? You know, with all that pressure.
Honestly, I wanted to be a filmmaker.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I took film and media studies, and you know how much filmmaking I actually wound up doing in film and media studies? Zero. You know how much things I actually came up with in film and media studies that have ever been of any use in any of my filmmaking that I've ever done today? Zero. And I started to realize there ain't no freaking filmmaking being studied in film and media studies. This is all bull. This is all crap. I don't care. I'm getting the frack out of here. And so anyway, I wound up quitting my last job. Because the guy paid me more, even though he was a psychopath, I decided I could quit. So I took my last paycheck, which was about $4,000 cash in hand for the month, and I took my bonuses for the month as well, which was $11,900 worth of shopping mall vouchers that we've got here in New Zealand called Westfield. And managed to live off that for quite a while. But then when money ran out, I got pretty depressed. So I went to a doctor and said, Mr. Doctor, I'm very depressed. And he said, put the lime in the coconut and drink them both up and call me in the morning. And it did relieve my bellyache because he gave me a sickness benefit, which allowed me to scrounge $200 from the government from which I could finance my operation to frack them. Because I used my $11,900 worth of Westfield shopping vouchers to get myself a camera and a computer and pay for the internet connections and just the fridge and stuff. But I was going out to protests and public meetings almost every other day and filming the stuff and then editing the videos when I got home and uploading them and started doing a few dance parties here on the side, making videos for them, taking a little bit of money just so I could finance my operation. I designed DVDs and designed the covers and
everything.
Well? I don't know a great DJ once said on Facebook. All these other DJs are thinking like they're really great, talented musicians. All you do is press the play button every now and again, you dick.
Yeah.
So yes, I am a good DJ, and the thing that happened was because I realized that I could actually make money off of this. This is my idea. I was like, whoa, I need to actually make money off of telling the truth. How do I do that? I did it as a salesman. I told people the truth that I could save them money. They did have their money saved. I never lied to anybody, even though other people were lying around me and making their money that way. But what I wanted to do was actually turn truth rather than lies into a revenue stream, something that can actually reinforce itself, something that can grow organically. And when you're in desperate times, it calls for desperate measures. So you start asking people for help. I ask people to donate $5 a month to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You know, go in there, subscribe. Some people give $10, some people give $20, some people give $50. You know, when I started that, this is what I thought was a good idea, because what happens in society is people are always buying something for themselves. They're not often chipping in to buy something for somebody else. And if I could turn that into a business model, not only could I ethically take people's money and spend it on exposing scumbaggery and making people laugh and helping activists that have really even worse traumas than I've ever conceived of in my life, helping them through these dark times, helping get their message out so that people can come to their aid as many people had come to mine. I think that is a sustainable business model, one that's based upon a community and delivery of results rather than a packaged, processed product with no with nothing genuine left in it.
Yes, I agree. I concur completely. I wanted to ask you where you see the internet going, since this is such a key factor to the sustainability of such a livelihood, and also facilitation of new people, as you know, in the Matrix they say pop, you know, when people take that pill and open their eyes and start to see it, they need to reach out and they need a touchstone. I've been hearing, you know, as we all have, murmurs of the internet being, you know, under certain regulations coming down. I think there's like something called TCC or something like that, where there's a bunch of countries who are now forming a unified force to regulate the internet. China is not involved, and neither is Russia, where they're basically going to cater to those who have trademarks, register trademarks, and you know, then whatever the next version is. Have you heard these murmurs, and what do you think is going to happen, and how do you project? Because one of the things I love about you, Vinny, is you're really quite worldly. You know, and I would love to talk on some specifics later, but let's start with the internet. What are your thoughts? And we have probably 2 minutes before we go to break, just to give you a heads up.
Are you sure? It looked like he said 1 minute to break or so. Well, my thoughts on the internet in 2 minutes, where it's going. Well, I think all business should really start to become even more internet based. All right, really, there's no such need for schools anymore. There's no need for storefronts anymore. There's no need for centralization of human activity whatsoever. If we've got enough internet, nobody even really need be in cities for that matter. You know, we could all be living off in the country, and every single time we want to talk to somebody, we've got a full frickin' digital video cam and everything with them if we want. That's where I think the internet should go, but where I think it's going is for more intense regulation by scumbaggery agencies that are also thwarted at all times by people who don't want their internet freedom taken off them, who are more or less trying to fight the good cause of freedom in not so many words. And unfortunately, these powers keep getting taken to surveil people increasingly, target them, individuals specifically, because it's often an individual that can override an entire apparatus, isn't it? Whistleblowers are the perfect example of that, so they're going to be cracked down on hard. It's absolutely not looking good. It's not looking good. But, hey, there's a saying in Batman, things are always darkest before the dawn.
Nicely timed. We'll be right back after these messages.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Most guys freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
That fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. 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 Radio! Revolution. Radio. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Eva Moore. This is Evolution on Revolution Radio. We're simulcasting on Wolf Spirit Radio, thanks to Mr. Pops Dave Corso and No Borders in the UK. Today's date is November 24th, 2013. We're at the bottom of the first hour, and tonight my guest is the one, the only, Mr. Vincent Eastwood. Thank you so much for being here. Before the break, we were just talking about the internet and the specific targeting of whistleblowers and, you know, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, that perhaps they're going to try and maneuver something like Napster, you know, where anybody who's putting out information, if it's not their trademarked information, then they're going to try and, like, lasso you into some kind of three-strike rule, and then you're off the internet. That's some of the words I've heard thrown around. Vinny, we've talked quite a bit about your origins and how you got started. To this date, who would you say was one of the top three interviews that you've done? Who have you really enjoyed when you look back and say, wow, I did that?
I don't know, probably David Icke, G. Edward Griffin, and Cliff High.
Awesome. I was suspecting they were on there somewhere. And who
Perkins one was really good too. In fact, there's a reason I did that featured interviews page on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com is because there's so many really, really awesome guests that we've had on the show. The Tila Tequila interview was very interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. There were so many technical glitches and things that went on. It was insane.
I remember that. I was talking to her right before we did our interview, and then she was kind of like working. Bless her. I mean, who knows what she deals with? And you know, she's right in the pot. So while it's, you know, cooking, so she's a very brave woman. I give her that. Who do you have your sights on? Who are you looking forward to? If you could interview anyone on this planet right now, who would be, like, you know, an A-list type strategy?
Johnny Depp.
Interesting. And why?
The Hunter S. Thompson, you know, the things that he's done. You know, Johnny Depp's done a lot of movies that have involved the occult, conspiracy, undercover police and all of this kind of stuff. He must have had some really amazing experiences doing his research and what have you. And Hunter S. Thompson was way out there. So I'd be really interested to have a couple of hours with Johnny Depp to just, you know, shoot the breeze and learn about his life and have a few laughs with him. I reckon that'd be awesome.
It's so hard because I think about stuff like that, and then I wonder, you know, where does MKUltra and that type of programming play into these actors? Because a lot of what I've heard is that a lot of these actors have just alters, and they just put them into alters to trigger them into acting. And it's like, you know, look at Britney Spears. I mean, have you seen the Dollhouse episodes? They're on Netflix. I don't know if you get Netflix in your country. I don't know if that's international or not, but
no, I've seen episodes of the Dollhouse. Yeah, the Joss Whedon one, the guy did what's it called, Firefly and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Same dude did Dollhouse, I think.
Yeah, actually, I thought it was very well done. There was one episode where they depict a presidential type candidate who is, you know, controlled, and it's kind of spooky because I only started watching it about, I don't know, 6 months ago, and when I finally got far enough into it to see there's some validity to what they were rolling out through there, that chair in specific, when I first met Bill, he told me that what they, you know, used to wipe him before they released him was light, sound, and psychotropic drugs. And, you know, overstimulating his nervous system with light and sound. And, I described these chairs to him, and he thought that was really spooky, the fact that they show, the reality of the compartmentalization through data transfer into the personality. Like, that's just bizarre. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's how a lot of the Black Ops kind of keep their secrecy, is they have that type of technology to ensure memories are not retained around, you know, key strategic operations. And,
well,
you know.
I'd inferred a different method of keeping their secrecy. It's by making all of this technology that they've already got fully public as fiction, so that when anybody says that it's real, they get accused of watching too much TV.
Sorry.
But I could be wrong.
Well, it's, you know, I'm actually looking forward to getting my hands on Bill in person. And, you know, we only had like basically 3.5 months, and we were pretty much strangers with this, you know, connection. Obviously, that it was something more there driving the trust, because I basically left Canada and jumped ship to get behind him and just document and observe as much as I could to protect him and keep him safe, and like just stand for all the courage that he was depicting. And it's not been an easy ride. I mean, we've, you know, previously talked about gang stalking. Well, that is definitely what he's endured for the last 14 years. And I had no preparation whatsoever. So I definitely know it when I see it now. And it's a crazy world to be a host. You know, you wouldn't think that the alternative media would be that important, but apparently we're being successful enough to cause enough of a stir to have to then suffer the COINTELPRO type peppering on the YouTube channels. And that's a part of the job I was not trained for. And I think the creative aspect that you show is probably the most attractive version of anyone in the alternative media that I have seen successfully execute to date. To kind of counterbalance the stress of being in this type of arena. But it's definitely something I've got my eyes on. So let's talk creativity and what's going on in that world of yours, because it's something that I really quite admire.
Well, we have a track that I loaded you there, didn't I?
Steve, is that ready to go? Can we
do it right now?
Okay.
Well, let me just preface this by saying that this is, we just did this last night, like off the top of our head. My friend's playing guitar, I'm singing. Everything you're seeing is a complete and utter freestyle. This is two musicians jamming for 3 minutes. All right? So let's roll that.
Ooh, in summertime, in the city, when the girls are oh so pretty. In the summer, in the city, when the girls are so pretty, I feel like I'm walking on the clouds when the sun shines down. In the summer, in the city, when the girls are looking so pretty, with all those nice fresh fruits and vegetables, tended by vendors on the side of the street, making a living in the summer. In the city, when the girls are so pretty. spirits rising more faster than your spine can contemplate all the implications upon you now. The summer, the city, things are heating up. In the summer, in the city, you have a half full cup. In the summer, in the city, the girls are so pretty.
I think that if the internet were to become what you said, where, you know, people would have more time to invest in doing and being what they want, the only reason we would ever get together would be to celebrate the arts. And we would come together and we would be in each other's presence to physically experience what it's like to feel the music played live. And that was wonderful. That's amazing. I'm really impressed. Thank you for sharing that with our listeners.
Now, if you can show me another musician who can do something like that with no prep, nothing whatsoever, even being a little bit sleep deprived, point them in my direction, you know? I mean, I've been jamming for over a year with Mikhail there, and he's been jamming for over 30 years with people, and he's never been able to produce anything like he has with me, with anybody else, like not even close to it. There's something about me I'm able to get into a rhythm and the words just come to me. It's really awesome. And it's a way of getting out all of this angst and stuff. Yes. Like that, you know, and we always record all of our jam sessions. Occasionally we come up with really, really terrible songs. We just sit there and just go, oh my God, that's just, how drunk were we, you know? And, but the rest of the time, man, we come up with some things that actually, that actually mean something, you know, that really say deep messages. And well, there's something that's missing. It's something that's missing from the music business, because yes, it's no longer about music. It's about, yes, business.
Yeah, I there's one gal I follow from Canada. Her name's Estero, and she moved down to L.A. A few years ago. She was originally with the BEP. They loved her voice, and they wanted her so bad, Black Eyed Peas. And she refused to sell out. And so they purposely set out to find somebody that could replicate her sound. And they found Fergie. And she put out a song a few years ago called Musical Revolution. And she's like, I'm so sick and tired. Anyway, so she's bringing it back out now where she's just walking the streets in Hollywood Boulevard area and interviewing people that are tourists walking by, asking them if they've heard her music, if they think that there's a need for a musical revolution where, you know, a more diverse, accurate example of artistic expression is allowed, where people aren't just falling prey to their, you know, producers or management directing their creative expression. And so I totally respect that, and I get it. I mean, I've been drawn to Beats Antique, who is a California band as well, and they have this amazing partnership with this gal Zoe Jakes, who's a belly dancer, and she shows up at all of their live shows. And so you not only get this really cool, funky live music, but you get this visual eye candy of goddess expression. And I just like it's really, I think, true art. And that is seeming to come back with all of the stress that is, you know, building with more and more truth coming out. The need for artistic expression is substantial. And one of the things that I love the most about what you're doing is that you're dominating with a professionalism, and then you're finding the time, you know, what are you managing? So what does your day look like? Take us through a Vinnie day and like how much stuff you're actually having to manage on the go.
See, the problem is that it took me a day to tell you what I do in a day. but in a nutshell, planning stuff, events, protests, managing Facebook pages, posting stuff out, editing audio, editing video, uploading that stuff up to the website, changing archives around, and keeping in touch with all of these people on Facebook, looking at a little bit of research, editing music, collaborating with people from and building websites.
Have you ever thought about doing a documentary or like some kind of reality?
I've done a couple of little mini documentaries. Thought about doing a reality TV show where we, you know, stick a spy cam on a politician when they're not looking and just, you know, air it on live stream or something until they notice.
Oh my God.
No, I just made that up off the top of my head. I wouldn't consider doing that. You know, that's a violation of the politician's alleged privacy.
Oh my God, that would be so good.
Well, hey, listen, I mean, if we don't have any privacy rights, then why should they?
But that doesn't mean just because somebody murdered you that you can murder them or their family member, you know what I'm saying? Because might doesn't make right. And the problem is that we do have to because then you come into moral territory where if you're doing it to a bad guy because he's a bad guy, are you in the right? And whether or not he actually is the bad guy or is he as bad as he thought or what have you, I mean, we've got rules in society, and I think truthers should be sworn to uphold them, you know?
Well, I think also that politicians, bureaucrats, things like that, people that have anything to do with the public coffers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you don't have to expose them by going into secret stuff. They are held to a higher standard, but the fact is they don't actually have any of those standards, bro. And whoever told us that is, I don't know, maybe trying to lie to us so that we wouldn't look any closer, because that's the only reason. See, you don't actually need to violate their privacy in order to get all the evidence and goss on them, because they do it right in front of your face, okay? That's probably the same reason why the cops don't have cops parked outside my thing and don't have my house bugged and stuff like that. We've done sweeps, we can't find anything. It's because I put everything that I do up online anyway. They don't need to. Okay, and it's the same with me versus the politicians. They put their schedules up there. They put their policy up there. They put all of the stuff up there, and there's all manners of other stuff that we can dig up on them without breaking any laws. You know, I mean, but
I'm glad that we know that Rob Ford smokes crack.
Oh yeah, Canada at its best.
You know, if somebody wasn't bugging Rob Ford, then we would never have known that.
Yeah. See, and. It's the problem, isn't it? because I can guarantee you people probably actually had something of that nature. And this also comes into the WikiLeaks argument too, doesn't it? Edward Snowden or Bradley Manning had never blown the whistle and revealed information that they shouldn't have to, if they didn't technically break laws or what have you, we wouldn't know that all of this stuff is going on. So let me see. If you break a law and it doesn't damage somebody, all right, like physically, or destroy any of their private property, is it still breaking the law under common law? No, it's not. So if it's defamation, like if it's lies, that actually really does destroy somebody's reputation and destroys their life, when they haven't actually done anything, there's no evidence to prove that, go right ahead. But if somebody's actually involved in real scumbaggery, all right, and you break the law in order to obtain the documents in order to prove it, then I think that's perfectly lawful. All right. I think it's perfectly okay to obtain things, just as long as nobody gets hurt and no private property is damaged.
The girl with the dragon tattoo. I was going to say, there's a lot of predictive programming going into television shows right now that are encouraging vigilantism. But the vigilantism is much not in a line with what you just stated, that the truth or community should be upheld to uphold integrity, that we should not be willing to go cross boundaries, and that if we do, if it's not intentional, that, you know, we take the steps to reestablish boundaries.
Our strength lies in our restraint, not our barbarity.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. Let's talk man talk. Tell me about that. How did that come together? This is really cool. This is a few episodes, one episode? What was it?
It looks like we're up to the... in fact, funny you should say that. Where in the heck is my calendar? Here we are. We have the Man Talk Project episode 5 with David Whitehead on truthfrequencyradio.com.
Love him. Fellow Canadian. Okay. Represent. Whoop, whoop. Love David.
That's tomorrow at the same time as this show started today. So,
awesome. Okay. And you did one with Randy Moggins, who's another, you know, close to my heart. He was somebody that was integral into the get-go. I mean, I did not expect to leave Canada, jump behind a Black Ops and get a radio show. I didn't know any of this was going to come together, but Randy was very much part of that. So how did this come together and what's the premise?
Well, as most things in my life come together, it was by a mistake that I made. And I mistakenly scheduled two guests for the same day. And I didn't know either of them or what either of them were about. So I said, well, frack it, let's just have a conversation like 2 minutes before the show actually starts. We'll find out what each of their fields of research are, and then we just start talking. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, no problem. I think we can jam with this. Let's do it. And then we had a show, and we started talking about being men during that show. And I called the episode The Man Talk Project, you know, after the Montauk Project. And the Montauk Project is different from the Man Talk Project because it's about how you can teach somebody to speak with a Jamaican accent. You know, it's the Montauk Project. And fifth episode coming up, you know, because we figured out something during that interview that there really isn't a whole lot of man talk going on out there.
I know. That's great. I love it. I totally support that. That's awesome. Love it.
Sounds kind of neat. I might want to get involved.
Oh, I knew that was coming, Steve.
Because Vinny, I've heard your stuff a while ago, and I know you got an awesome show. I've been busy. I haven't heard it recently. But so I also
Steve's
don't know.
A jammer too. He's in a band.
Yes, I am. But but I'm just saying that like some sort of man talk thing. That sounds like it works.
That's up your alley, Steve. I love it. I knew you. That's kind of why I brought it up. Actually, you
know, define masculine.
Yes. I think that's great. I think that is very important, actually.
Especially with the Rockefeller CIA financed rise of feminism and the 52% divorce rate and the 97% illegitimacy rate in black communities. Yeah, I think men being men,
yep. yep.
might actually be need to be brought back, because what's happening now is that you're either a man being demonized on television or a woman being worshipped. And I think, whoa. That's not only the opposite of what was happening. That's even worse. That's like double as bad. So now, instead of having strong men and supportive women in both of their character really defined roles for a large extent, now you have weak men and overbearing women to a large degree. And it's like, whoa, hold on a second. The things that were divine about women have disappeared, and the things that were divine about men have disappeared. What they've done, simply with the rise of feminism and the way that they've promoted it and done it, has actually destroyed both men and women's perception of themselves.
Well, and you know what? A lot of people don't know that about Gloria Steinem, that she was part of a rollout through this, well, you know, where exactly it originated, but obviously the CIA had some involvement, but she was part of that to divide the family, and you know, it's controversial. It's a controversial topic. So I actually very wholeheartedly support this. And why I brought it up is because I knew Stevie would be down with it and think it was so dope.
Yeah. I'm just saying, this is why we have people like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton in high office in America.
We'll be right back after this.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Revolution Radio. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Eva Moore, your host on Evolution. Revolution Radio, this is November 24th, 2013. We're simulcasting on Wolf Spirit Radio and No Borders in the UK. And if you're enjoying this lovely honor of a program with Mr. Vincent Eastwood, please take the time to head on over to the donate button and support Nighthawk and Revolution Radio, Dave Corso at Wolf Spirit Radio, and No Borders in the UK. And also, Mr. Vincent has a donation button. His website is thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Go ahead. That's right. And it's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood doesn't go ahead. Make my news.
Any relation? Any relation? Have you done like the lineage to Mr. Clint?
No relation as far as I've heard of to the actual the man Clint Eastwood. I am Lucy Lawless's first cousin, and some of my great great aunt and uncle or something like that were a brother and sister duo that played at the finest houses of London to thousands of people. One of them played piano and one of them sang. So kind of come from a wee bit of a lineage
thespian?
Of
a thespian.
I didn't get much of the details out of the old fellow, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you want to hear a fun synchronicity? Mm-hmm. One of the first episodes of the last season of The X-Files had Lucy Lawless in it, and she was playing a female super soldier.
Huh.
Wow, thank you, Travesty. That's an interesting tidbit I did not know about.
Yep, you got to go watch the very last season of X-Files. It's not as good as the old stuff because after they kind of like threw Fox Mulder out of the show, they kind of lost their vibe in a sense, but the trutherism of it was all still really good. And they were talking about like fluoride in that same episode before fluoride was topping.
Hmm. Vinny, what is a non-multi New Zealander?
A non-multi New Zealander? I don't know. Maybe it's some kind of disease like multiple sclerosis, except it's from New Zealand.
Okay, I think that's what you said during your live performance at the cafe recording. You were talking about the origins of your band name, Packy Hatch.
Oh, no. Whoa. You're pronouncing it terribly.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
Like, you know how you got moldy bread? Okay? And you know how you've got Chairman Mao from China, you know, like a cat says Mao in Chinese.
Right, it's Mao. Right,
meow. Yeah, like meow meow, and it's called Maori, like a Mao that's moldy, Maori. And
you were saying non-Maori New Zealander?
Yeah, that's
right. I'm sorry. Okay, I understand what a Maori is. Okay. Got it.
Non-multi New Zealander.
I was like, what is that?
Okay. It's something to do with like a multivitamin supplement, I think. You know, there's a company in New Zealand called Non-Multi New Zealand, I'm sure.
Okay, and
but
so you're,
they don't believe in selling you multivitamins, so they sell them all individually or something.
Your band name is the Pakeha Cheese. Yeah. And it's a mashup, right?
Yeah. Like Pakeha is a Maori word for non-Maori New Zealander, right? And mariachi is Spanish for musician, right?
Very cool.
So together you're the Pakehachis.
Okay, cool. Very cool. just on Friday here, it was the Kennedy assassination commemorative 50th date. I won't say anniversary because that sounds like a celebration.
I'm sure some people were celebrating. Yeah, we killed him and got away with it for over 50 years and counting. And may we get away with it for 50 more. Yeah, yeah.
Bush. Yeah. Yeah. Any thoughts on, you know, what's happening right now with the Federal Reserve and the finances on a global level, the UN, the IMF, the World Bank? Any tidbits that you picked up from your side of the pond?
You know, I'm not really that kind of guest. I don't really study or look into things really too deeply. I mean, I just kind of get general impressions, so on and so forth, from the experts who do that kind of thing, for whom such questions would be perhaps more appropriate. But let me tell you what I think.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Don't sell yourself short. I really enjoy your thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Here's what I think about it. We're in more debt now than we ever have been. And sooner or later, that puppy's going to roll out on us. Whether or not they roll it out on us real slowly, as everybody passively accepts their new role as debt servitude as it gets legislated progressively, or whether an uprising starts, because like in Greece, some people actually have to sell their children in order to pay the bills. Okay, I wonder.
Bahrain. Yeah, that's exactly what happens in a lot of countries all over the world, and people in North America are really clueless to the fact that that is what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. Bahrain means sheep rule in Arabic, by the way. Get it? Sheep rule? Bahrain?
Nasty place.
Yeah. Is it? I've never been. I've never Bahrain.
The it's like
just the house Bahrain, of... Just the Bahrain in Spain for me.
the plane. Yes, nice. Mr.
No, actually, no, it doesn't fall mainly on the plane. Actually, the planes mainly fall from the sky due to terrorist attacks and anti-aircraft and artillery. Military. Sorry, I'm going off base here.
Well, it's a house of Saud's like Vegas, right? So they're Muslim, but they can get away with anything in Bahrain because somehow they can.
Yeah. You just imagine, you know, like Chris Rock pulling up to the house of Saud, like one of the big palaces. I mean, yo, what's up? I'm in the house of Saud now. And he marries one of their princesses or something like that. Oh, yeah.
Okay, here.
Get yourself a gold Mercedes.
Yeah, let's talk celebrity. What's your take on Russell Brand right now and his ties to the Fabian Society? Is he legit? I mean,
when you say ties to the Fabian Society, what do you mean?
Well, apparently he's got ties.
When you say apparently he's got ties, that still doesn't answer the question with one iota of any evidence.
Okay. All right.
If somebody's got evidence that he's the head of the Fabian Society, why would they cast aspersions instead of saying... Here's the document, because the Fabian Society has a list, don't they?
I am quite taken by the man in many ways. I saw his recording going into basically a hearing where he was trying to bring forward a more ethical, which is, you know, that word ethics is a catchy, tricky word in the jurisdiction department, but he was talking about the rehabilitation of drug addicts, and I thought he did a phenomenal job, and that is what really woke me up, was that who he was being in that courtroom during that hearing. Anything else is kind of frivolity, but that definitely spoke to my heart about bringing a humanistic approach to treatment and rehabilitation being more important than, you know, the...
He's like me in a lot of ways. He's funny and he's a narcissist. Now, the thing about narcissism is that all psychopaths are narcissists. Narcissism basically means you love yourself usually, right? And you think that you're really great. And the thing about psychopaths is that they also, on top of loving themselves and thinking they're really great, they also hate and despise everything else and want it all for themselves. there ain't nothing wrong with narcissism necessarily, so long as they're not a psychopath. And I don't know enough about Russell Brand to really comment, other than I've seen a few movies that he's in. He's freaking hilarious. Seen his comedy sketch. He's not only brilliant with his analysis on things, but also quite funny. Seen a couple of interviews which reinforced that as well. Mm-hmm. And I think he appears genuinely open about him. Like, he even mentions in his comedy sketches about how much of a narcissist he is. So this isn't something new that I'm bringing to the table here. For somebody to be open about their mental defect, and I think it is a mental defect, but, you know, there's some people that are idiot savants, are really good with numbers or whatever. Every defect comes with a compensation mechanism, you know. He might have it in almost Wang, for example, and I'm told that he does.
Or he could just have a lot of money and success.
Anyway.
I love myself, and I don't have any money or success.
How's your Wang?
My Wang's doing just fine. Thank
you. Yeah. He actually was just eating some of P.F. Wang's leftover Chinese food before the show today.
Oh, Vinny, you are good. Wow, that was quick. I'll give you that. That was very quick.
Was it from the shitty wok? Was it the shitty beef or the shitty chicken or the shitty shrimp?
Am I going to hit my wall?
Hey. Okay, let's talk.
Yeah, let's stop waving our Wang on the radio.
Let's talk the thoughts on Iran. Keshe came out a few years ago with his technology, and he made it very publicly aware that Iran received his technology. In the last 2 years, we've seen Iran build up their space technology. Now, what happens with nuclear energy is it can be used for alternative energy devices. It's the same ingredients that go into nuclear bombs that go into free energy devices. You know, plasma arcs and let's see what else.
I'd say if the Iranians are developing really advanced weaponry because they're afraid that the US should attack them, I think they're probably doing a smart move. Because it acts as a deterrent, doesn't it? Do you know anybody who wants to attack the mainland US? Anybody who's stupid enough to attack somebody who has the world's biggest military with good gargantuan quantities of weapons? No? Oh, that's right. Except the terrorists that they themselves manufacture in order to justify their enormous military presence. But
exactly.
Okay, like so if Iran develops massive, really Libya. Nasty weapons as well, it might make a lot of people less likely to attack them. After all, what's the likelihood Iran's going to attack you? When was the last time they attacked anybody? For like a thousand
the
years?
The Persian Empire?
I mean, when was the last time the US attacked somebody? Like 20 minutes ago? As we speak?
Yeah, well, this is the thing, and this is what Bill was saying, is that the nuclear ingredients are the same that go into also free energy, and they have come out publicly talking about their space program, which, you know, nobody other than the United States is allowed to dominate. So this is very interesting, and it's a hot topic right now. Have you looked into Keshe? Have you had him on your show? MT Keshe? Are you from? Yeah.
I lost you there.
He's an Iranian physicist.
You mean the Keshe Foundation?
Yes, MT Keshe.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I have met him. So actually,
he's an interesting interview, isn't he? He's very he doesn't joke around.
Which was really hard. It was actually quite difficult.
Oh my god!
Because I like to laugh at my own jokes, kind of thing, and I was like, look. You know, and when you're skimming through editing video, mostly what you see is just, you know, different faces moving or whatever. You're not really hearing the audio, but all you see are all these different facial expressions. And whenever I'm laughing and all over the place, he's just sitting there with this whoosh.
Stone.
You know, like the look.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
The look of a serious scientist.
I know.
Who was up at 3 o'clock in the morning. being interviewed on some kid New Zealander's show who was making stupid cracks amidst his explanations about the scientific integrity of the entirety of the establishment, including all of its main thinkers, like Dr. Stephen Hawking. All right.
Yeah.
I feel kind of embarrassed sometimes.
The stabilization of plasma and the intricacies of creating, you know, devices that will replicate. Oh my God, I will have to go back and watch that. I think everybody listening should do that. That would be an amazing interview. Oh no, that's so funny. I didn't know that you had, but that's great. When did you interview him? How long ago?
Oh man, I have no idea. I interview like 5 to 10 people a week.
Right.
5 to 10 new people. I don't have regular guests really at all. And I think that's part of the charm of my show is that if you don't like one guest, tomorrow will be a different guest. And, you may never hear that guest that you don't like ever again.
Well, did you know that he just announced his space program? Like within the last month or 2 weeks?
Look, Ahmed Dinajad.
No, Cash. A brand new space program.
Oh, he started his space program.
Yeah.
Well, how many rockets has he got? How many Cape Canaverals has he built?
Okay, you remember when I ran down that U.S. Batwing, drone, and they downed it without any, like, damage done to the...
Yeah, they hacked it.
Yeah, but I think that Bill was kind of inferring that perhaps Keshe technology was used as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting.
Oh, well, I'd like to see the evidence confirming it. See, here's the problem with that, with our movement is that we hear a lot of stories and we hear a lot of confessions and things of that nature.
I know.
And even if somebody's telling the truth, if you don't have the supporting documentary evidence, you really don't know what you're talking about. That's the problem because there's so much disparate information.
It requires
expertise. However, there is a value, I think, in having people who are specialists in certain things, but likewise, there's value in having people who know a little bit about a lot of things as opposed to a lot about a little.
Yes, and one of the things that I love about my husband is that he has a strategic mindset, and he understands, after years of being at that level of security clearance, how the play goes in the mainstream media and how to weave together and make hunches that then later pan out to be true in like very short amount of time. So it's fascinating. I'll tell you this though, it's exhausting because a lot of my paradigms have to come down really quickly and then I have to recover to learn what it is he's trying to tell me. So it's intense because of the level of understanding of what goes on at that military industrial complex level. So it's fascinating. It really is. I feel very blessed to be in this position. It's not been an easy 2 years, but you must relate. I mean, you get some amazing interaction. Like your brain must just love this, being able to tap into all these different personalities and kind of reap the benefit of all of their studies. Because I know that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, well, I think it's about my need to associate with people that are better at something than me. I feel that if you've got friends and they're worse than you in every way and you by default become their leader, it's actually not necessarily a good thing, man. Like, I want to be overwhelmed by the brilliance of the people that are around me so that I can absorb their brilliance, not be absorbed by mediocrity. And in so doing, I haven't had a whole lot of relationships in my life last that long. I have no friends from school. I have no friends from university, no friends from any jobs or anything like that. None of them. I mean, my best mate, Jono, I met him at a work do, but he didn't work with me or for me or anything. And we've been friends for years and years now, and a couple of other mates and what have you. But generally, I'm pretty picky about who I hang out with a lot of the time. And there's so much interaction to be had that I figured, man, I could hang out with virtually anybody because I've got a radio show. Because you go up to somebody, doesn't matter how famous or whatever they are, and you say, hey, I've got this radio show on 21 AM FM stations and 9 in New Zealand, and blah, 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 X amounts of thousands of listeners, and would you like to come on to have 2 hours to speak your piece about and
That's
talk about anything you
line,
want to?
That's a good pickup line,
Yeah,
have you
yeah.
Have you used it as a pickup line?
Well, no, because I'm in a stable relationship and otherwise a happily attached
man. I didn't know. Yeah, I just would assume that would kind of be a nice benefit to the gang.
Yeah, but like Lucy Lawless said in Xena Warrior Princess, in terms of the sexual connotations between her relationship with Renee in the TV series, then you kind of try and keep it ambiguous, because that way not only do you get a whole bunch of guys watching, but you also get a whole lot of lesbian following. but, you know, I don't mean to say that or anyway. I'm getting married in January. I don't know what this whole idea of being a sex symbol and everything comes out. I guess I just do my hair because I've got this really good stuff from Angela
Foreman. You're getting married in January?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Okay, how'd you guys meet?
Did you ask her to be on your
radio show?
No, this is before I even had a radio show, before I was even a truther.
Oh, wow, good. Well, that's awesome. Very cool. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was really romantic. You see, I was trying to shag a friend, but her friend didn't want to shag me, so she brought her around to my place and then got us drunk, and then she went to bed and one thing led to another. And, yeah. And since that first night we've been together, we've never been apart. started living together after the first night.
Well, there you go. This is inside scoops right here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I think what was encapsulated, because I was a cyclist at the time, I needed to get home right, but I couldn't be bothered getting home because it was kind of late at night. And so she took apart my bike, put it in the back of her little compact car, you know, like the Holden Barina. Actually got my bike into the back of it there, disassembled it and put it in. And then when she drove me to my house and then reassembled the bike on the side of the road in the dark, and I said, yep, she's a keeper.
No kidding. Very cool. Okay, I have a question from the chat. Who did Vinny have on his show that stated New Zealand was the training ground for the Illuminati plans? Do you recall?
I have no idea what they're talking about. No.
Okay. Do you agree with that statement?
I don't understand it.
I would guess that it means maybe that's where...
Maybe testing grounds on policies and things of that nature, because that's
the first run.
Yeah, well, we've got the first agenda, officially Agenda 21 compliant city in New Zealand was West Auckland, where I am now, which later grew to encompass the whole of Auckland, which is our largest city of I think nearly 1.4 million people at this point in a country of only 4 million, you know. So yeah, it's pretty well locked down here in New Zealand. I mean, there was a month there where we signed up to NATO, gave the Coast Guard authority to patrol our waters, gave the surveillance state the ability to spy on anybody they want, no warrants or anything like that, break into your home, whatever, without warrants, never have to tell a judge, no records. Stop people having the right to have a jury, selling out the country to mining, uprooting a whole bunch of state housing communities that had been there for about 60, 70 years by bribing their religious leaders to tell the people in the community to not fight the evictions because they said that they'd get a big contribution to their church from the government, which they didn't get, and then they removed the churches as well. That'll learn you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, people don't actually get justice like that. They did get their money and those houses and all those community people did get removed. You know, it's just it all just happens in a month. And you're like sitting there and you're like, whoa. What the hell is going on here? And now they're getting rid of all of our state assets. Exactly what they did to Argentina. They're privatizing everything. They just privatized the police force. Now they're privatizing the energy. Then they're going to privatize the rail and privatize all the telecommunications. They're going to privatize absolutely everything. And they've already privatized the city. There's a council called the Committee for Auckland, which is a private organization, which you have to pay $10,000 a year by a credit card in order to actually be a part of.
Oh, wow.
And all the big giant contractors that all run the city, all the banks and everything are on there, and all they do is basically just tell the Auckland City Council what their policy is going to be. Not what they want it to be, but what it is going to be the very next year, lest they draw all their support. All right, this is a real nasty situation we've got ourselves here. We've got a highly placed Freemason, I think it's a 32nd degree, is Len Brown, the current mayor of Auckland. It's an allegation. He hasn't actually answered as to whether or not he is, which would lead me to believe he wants to not lie, so he decides to not answer as opposed to answer no. But, you know, that's my speculation. And we have the coalition partner for the government. His name is John Banks. He's a 33rd degree Freemason. And with him and the current government party's John Key, who used to work for the Federal Reserve in New York for 2 years as Merrill Lynch's pioneer of derivative trading and regulation in the Europe sector, who also had his back offices in Ireland at one point when their economy was giving sweetheart deals and tax breaks to derivatives traders, incidentally. And they're all between 32 and 33rd degree Freemasons of the Scottish Rite. That's the most powerful, the second most powerful, and the third most powerful men in the country.
Wow.
And they're selling out the entire country, all of its assets, all of its freedoms, all of its money, getting it into monstrous amounts of debt, 50 times what we've ever frickin' seen, Virch, you know, in such rapid fire pace. Installing oil rigs, you know. I mean, it's like if you're in a Pacific Island nation and your beaches are your life and everything like that, do you want oil rigs out there, really? I mean, that didn't work out too well for the Gulf of Mexico, as far as I understand.
God, no.
I don't know. And then they pass a law.
Slander up that Corexin into your DNA.
Yeah, and then they pass a law saying that protesters can't come within 500 metres of a vessel that's drilling. And they didn't pass a law saying that the drilling vessels can't come within 500 metres of a protest vessel, though. So it depends who you want to support. And in New Zealand, the government supports the banksters.
Wonderful. Thank you for that rundown. That was a great question, Cindy. Thank you. We'll be right back after these messages.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
The Empire is in peril.
You're probably too young to know, but the Empire is always in some kind of peril.
I may have been overly rude earlier when I called you a pirate.
And I may have been overly charitable when I said I wasn't.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Be here Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time to catch Roxy Lopez straight from the Valley of the Sun. Her discussions run from chemtrails to sovereignty, aliens to conspiracy facts. So join us for The Truth Denied with Roxy Lopez. Again, that's Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
You ever get tired of me, Paul? You can't kill the future!
You know what the difference is between you and me?
I make this look good.
Revolution Radio. You're listening.
listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's November 24th, 2013. I'm Eva Moore. This is Evolution on Revolution Radio, simulcasting on Wolf Spirit and No Borders in the UK. And tonight's guest is Mr. Vincent Eastwood, Mr. King Kiwi, as I affectionately have coined him. And I'm so grateful to have you. This is the last half hour of the show. You know, it is seriously an honor to have you. And I just want to thank you, because I see the amount of volume that you pump out and the dedication that you have and the quality of work that you're doing and the fun that you're having. And, you know, that's what this life is all supposed to be about, is finding your own way, making your own way, and you do it quite eloquently. And find the time then to have a cathartic artistic expression on the side, which is, you know, in and of itself quite wonderful. And you're getting married. Is there a registry we could donate to as well? I know it's hard when you've lived together for a while. It's like, well, are we going to buy China and all? What we did is we put together a kind of donate button to potentially go on a honeymoon at some point. So, yeah, are you guys, do you have like honeymoon plans already? And
I presume it involves lots of consummation.
Are you getting married in New Zealand? Is there a special place? Is this going to be like...
Yeah, special places down the road in the park and at home with and at home with a few drinks. That's basically
aww,
the,
that's great. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm a fan of big weddings, but it's just not plausible, is it? It's just insane. You start to think about it, and you have a look at the high divorce rate, and all these people are spending all these huge monies on these big ceremonies for absolutely no reason, with freaking people that they haven't met in years turning up, and so on and so forth, and feeding them and getting them wasted, and it just doesn't work out between you and the end of the day. And you know, there's nothing technically wrong with that.
If you can put a wedding donation up. You should do a wedding donations button and then like put all the money towards like the photographs or something. I don't know. You know.
Well, the thing is, my mate's a professional photographer. In fact, a couple of them are.
Cool.
And professional cameraman and professional sound guys and generally just really nice people, and we're just gonna have some fun, you know, and it's going to be low key and not prohibitively expensive, but it will be nice, you know. I think after Sarah's been supporting my broadcast for the first couple of years, starting, you know, so there's the great advice that I can give to other budding talk radio show hosts, you know. Firstly, having a missus to mooch off, oh my god, that's a lifesaver. Oh yeah, and now. I'm getting enough donations so I can support her in her quitting her job so that she can start her own gardening business, which is now starting to turn around and give her enough to pay the bills for the first time in like, I don't know, 6 or 7 months or something. So, you know, she supported me, I supported her, and now we're both supporting ourselves and each other, and we're getting married and we want to move into
babies?
A bigger...
You guys going to do the babies?
Well, we've been trying. Hasn't happened yet.
Oh, that's exciting. Aw, I'm so happy for you. Oh, I'm going to... Okay, have you guys read The Ringing Cedars?
No.
Have you heard of them? The books? The series?
No. Well, I'm not much of a reader.
I know. You have a busy life, too. But it ties in with the gardening, so... all right. I'll make a note to self. So, okay, what else is going on? Do you have like events that you go to, and what events, like, would you ever attend the Bilderberg, or like, would you ever go partner up with David Icke? And have you heard about his new radio station that he's putting together?
Have you looked into
it? Studio as well. Not really. I mean, because I'm doing more or less the same thing down here in New Zealand. I'm going to be doing the Guerrilla Media House. So when I solicited enough regular donations so that we're able to rent out a reasonably nice house, you know, that we can have a couple of rooms that are dedicated to the business, and one of them a radio studio and the other a video studio with a green screen in it and a blue screen. But you know how you have those little pull-down screens that you project, that you have projectors that project stuff onto them? Well, just paint one of them freaking green. It's a perfectly good pull-down green screen, isn't it? And you can just you know, stand there with a camera in front of you.
I'd put glitter on it.
Yeah, and then you can just do your little. I'm not going to put glitter on it. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
That's violation of man law.
That is
a man violation.
I should do that. I should paint like a screen. So on my have like glitter.
Yeah.
A glitter background.
But men do not appreciate women putting glitter on their technology.
Okay, I'll remember that when my husband gets out of jail. Hopefully in March.
You haven't, like, in his absence, just glittered up all his stereo equipment and his old PlayStation and everything, have you?
Well, you know what's interesting? He built in New York at the, museum. I've never been to New York, so bear with me, and I'm Canadian. There's, like, a big art, you know, whatever.
Gallery?
Yes, and he built the Milky Way galaxy constellation in a holographic technology. So he has like all these really weird contraptions in the trunk of the car that he builds like holographic projection housing units with. He's like a laser engineer and like all these computer and all this stuff. So he's got really bizarre technology, and there's pink duct tape on it right now holding it together. Hot pink duct tape. So, no glitter, but close.
Okay. All right. I think you can be forgiven for that violation. You know, it's not that
kind of
bad.
Manly hot.
No, it's not exactly permanent. Is it really hot pink one, is it?
It's hot pink, yeah. It's duct tape and it's hot pink. So, I mean, it's a compromise. At least it's girly duct tape. So, I have to look at it, so.
All right. Okay. Well, that's kind of like your version of like putting on your man's boxer shorts and a t-shirt in the morning.
Yeah, it'll be interesting when he gets out of jail and he sees like how I've organized all his stuff, and like I went and bought like, you know, a suit hanger because he had like he was like in hiding, so he had his stuff like in garbage bags and jammed into the car, and like, you know, so I had to, when I fled Idaho. And the bizarre situation there, I took the time to organize my husband. So he'll be impressed. He's got like all this travel stuff now. Oh, cool. Spoil him. Well,
I guess he does need to be, even though he's not around to enjoy it.
Hopefully he will. He will be soon. So I look forward to a follow-up interview with you two. That would be exciting. He could use some laughs and, oh my gosh, the stories he'll have to tell.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, if you've been messed over by scumbaggery, I will make you laugh about it.
Do you have plans to do some kind of movie, or have you been doing any extra work since your background is in film and you seem to have all of these contacts? Okay.
Let me just tell you one of my broad general goals. Okay, imagine for yourself every time, type, and genre of media. So you're talking movie, documentary, and they all split into different categories. Like movie would split into horror, thriller, sci-fi, so on and so forth, action, blah, 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 drama. All right, and then you'd have radio, and you'd think about music and talk radio and various other forms of production, radio plays, etc. And you think about writing, and you think about scripts, television shows, novels, fiction and non-fiction. And then you split into computers, and then you think about websites and games and different programs and platforms and music players and so on and so forth. What I want to do as a broad general goal in my life is to produce one of every kind of medium that currently exists.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
I've already done plays, short films, talk radio, music, documentaries.
Fun.
What else have I read? All bunch of stuff. It escapes me, you know. That's why I have it all recorded down and documented and or uploaded somewhere. So, you know, I'm a very multi-talented multimedia man.
Yes.
The M&M.
Well, guess who's back? This is the other thing that you do that we haven't even touched on yet, is the alternative health, preventative health. You're quite the avid information junkie on that stuff, too. You have some really amazing guests, and you've compiled quite a bit of information on, you know, from vaccines to food and organics and all, you know, whatever. I'm very impressed.
Oh, yeah. Well, took this friend of mine, I go around to his place, and he goes, "Hey, Vinny, do you want a beer?" I was like, "Yeah." "Do you want a ciggy?" I'm like, "Yeah." All right. So that's what he's got to offer. When he comes here, I was like, "Bro, do you need a cup of coffee?" He's like, "Yeah." "Do you need some bruise cream for that big knock that you got there?" He goes, "Yeah." "Do you need some aloe vera for that cut that you got there?" He goes, "Yeah." "Do you need some distilled water to wash that down with?" He goes, "Yeah." Do you want a bourbon?" He says, "Yeah." You're feeling kind of hot, bro. Do you want to wash your face with some cinnamon and oat organic soap from the Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga, Australia, imported specially?" And he goes, "Yeah." "Do you want to use the internet in order to look for a new flat so that you can actually go and move into somewhere?" And he's like, "Yep." And, you know.
You're a good friend.
Okay, this is the thing. I've
experiential marketing.
When you're actually working in this industry, you get exposed to so many people who know such good stuff. It's very, very difficult for not to start rubbing off on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all sorts of products and practices and certain things that have changed in our house that are actually really, really different to how other people live their lives. And it hasn't mm-hmm. like been, and we're not exactly where we want to be yet.
Mm-hmm.
Get fully organic. We've got our garden growing. We've got cool. new places we want to move to. You know, there's all this stuff that's being worked on so that at all times we're not only preventing ourselves from falling victim to New World Order toxic environmental kind of contaminants in the foods or the water or what have you, but we're also at all times fracking with every single New World Order agenda that we possibly can conceive of.
Cool. How does New Zealand compare in preventative health on a big picture scale? Are there like food forests there? I know I'm in Seattle right now and there's food forests here, which I think is so cool, where there's a group of people that plant and tend, and then you have like you can have at it. Have you ever heard of that? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And we've got a very small food forest. Like,
cool.
Dig this. You've got two gardens, one next to each other. One garden has potatoes. Okay? The other garden has broccoli, celery, beetroot, spring onion, garlic, Italian parsley, regular parsley, oregano, silver beet, spinach, red lettuce, green lettuce, iceberg lettuce, beans, sage, onions, and potatoes, and cucumbers, and zucchinis, and beans, and chives in the same space.
I'm digging it.
All right. That's permaculture. Sarah's really, really good with the gardening out there, and I'm always chucking fresh stuff into everything that I'm eating. We fertilize it with chook crap that we get. You know, everybody's you don't want crap on your food. It's like, bro, what would you prefer, crap on your food or pesticides and herbicides that are known to cause cancer and make you sterile, motherfucker?
Yes, very true.
Oh, a study's come out and says that it's from it's from Harvard. You mean Harvard that was funded by Monsanto? Yes, Harvard. They come out with a study that says organic food has no more nutrient quality than the other food that people are selling. And it's like, well, okay, whoa. Did they also include in the report that although it may not have as much or way more like minerals and nutrients and what have you, that the minerals and nutrients they have aren't coated in cancer-causing frickin' sterilizing crap? You know? You're promoting poison as a health food, bro. Do you see what you're doing? Okay? And do you see the financial connections between the scumbaggery individuals? It's a massive propaganda network in here, and it's like you got to be prepared to get into your own frickin' garden at the end of the day. I mean, I don't have time because I'm exposing scumbaggery until 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, and you need sleep in order to expose scumbaggery. And I don't really have any other time to be out in the garden. But conveniently, because of the quantity of scumbaggery that I expose, my missus occasionally has some free time because I get a bit of donations to go out into the garden and make sure that we've got some food so that if the power goes off and all the shops shut because of scumbaggery, we don't all starve to death right away.
Wow. I think that I would love to get on, you know, a little continent hopping tour and come visit you and your lovely wife and crash on your couch and let you entertain me before my husband gets down.
Well, yeah, and this is actually part of our idea behind Guerrilla Media House as well, because not only will we have a studio in there for video and a radio, but also have a guest bedroom so that you can come if you're an activist or something of that nature. Obviously, activists are broke because all the people that have lots of money commit the scumbaggery rather than expose it. So, yeah, we'll offer you a free house for the night.
Have you looked into woofing? Woofing?
Oh, yeah, we know woofing, but, you know, we're not planning on having that kind of a property where you have, like, heaps of land to work on and order to necessitate somebody doing that. We really like our privacy, so it'd be something, you know, that people can do that come in studio for interviews, for example, and or I would train them how to use the cameras and the editing programs so that they would learn how to use and record all of their own content. And go away after a single day with all of the training they need to do everything that I've been doing for years by myself without anybody's help in minimal time to a high degree of quality. And this method, I hope, will revitalize activism, because activism is a very thankless job because you don't have the promotional abilities that say a media platform does. Yeah. So what I do is I give that media platform and that promotability to these activists to use for themselves without charging them anything and without any retaining rights of ownership or whatever. If they want me to take it down, I'll take it down and whatever, you know. It's just, it's cool, man, if you're not prepared. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a frickin' free-for-all. I mean, have you seen a Truth of Handbook around, you know?
I haven't even seen a life handbook, so no, I think that'd be great.
I say frack it, you know? Do whatever you can. If you can do it, frickin' do it. Otherwise, you're abdicating your responsibility, all right? And if you're abdicating your responsibility, it means the entirety of society collapses all down the row anyway, because what's above certainly is down below, and it all starts with you. And if you've got the ability to react, the ability to respond, and you don't take responsibility, I think that's an abdication of your ability to survive. You're going to die. Okay, and I'm actually doing this because I'm really scared of death. I really don't want to die. Like it's just like, oh god, they exterminate people all day, every day in other parts of the world, and soon they'll be coming for me if I don't stand up and expose their scumbaggery while it's still in its infancy. Oh, before it becomes full-grown scumbaggery, military and industrial complex all around everybody, microchipped, surveilled from head to toe,
living in the
slave box.
Hunger Games. Yeah, and with the big dogs chasing them. Yes, this is yuck. Yeah. Recently you did an excellent job recording yourself rapping the Prime Sinister John Key rap.
October 5th, 2013.
You're going to play it.
Yes. I will give it to Steve to do that because if I do it, it will not have the sound quality. But you're a rapper.
Right now, because we've got less than 10 minutes left.
It's fine. It's fine. It's really good. It's worth it. And you are a rapper. This is very interesting.
Well, I'm called, my rap name is The Wire Rapper, which in New Zealand, there's actually a place name called The Wire Rapper. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're a New Zealander, you'll get the joke. Nobody else will. But I think it's quite funny.
I don't get it, but okay, play it, Steve. Let's hear this rap.
Now, I have a little song that I wrote about John Key. I mean, I would have loved to have produced it musically and so on and so forth, but time constraints. You know when you get that kind of of creative flair and you're like, oh my God, I can tell this guy screw you in so many words. The idea was to try and squeeze in as many of the corrupt cases, the scumbaggery and so on and so forth that the National Party's done to date. And unfortunately, the song's only 55 minutes long, so I couldn't only switch in like 1 minute of it. No, I'm kidding. Okay. All right. We got the GCSB and the TICS. His name's John Key. For a liar, he's the best. Cracking open our nice national parks for mining. Corporate cronies and his mates take a shining. He's got shares in uranium and Jackson Mining. It's amazing how TV news can be so blinding. Want to restrict our snapper, but not commercial operation. That's privatising the oceans, if I understand the equation. He got fracking consents to pollute the water table. Hydraulic chemicals and pressure make the land unstable. Deep sea oil bids going cheap for oil barons. Gulf of Mexico, BP, now the land is barren, and the Exxon Valdez, John Key, please, wipe that bankster smile off your face before it's too late. His name's John Key, the Prime Sinister, doesn't even measure up to be a minister with the lies and deception. In your own words, you'll lose the election when the people get heard. We're in more debt now than we ever have been. We were doing quite well till John came on the scene. He used to sell derivatives, debt packets in a pinch. AAA rated, conning people is a cinch. He was the Federal Reserve representative for Merrill Lynch. He's a banker, a banker. You know what that rhymes with? That's right, tanker, an oil tanker on the coastlines of Christchurch. Rebuilding contracts left the people in the lurch. Talking earthquake recovery and economic revival. Some people down there are struggling for survival. Shivering in cold, trapped in the red zone. Where refused insurance means you lose your home. But people love him, want to shake his hand. He's Teflon John, built the country on sand. They gave us a super city, corrupt corporate coup. Criminal business want my city unclued. You demonized, stole from, and defamed elderly Alan Hubbard, who died just before revealing the skeletons in your cupboard. His name's John Key. The Prime Sinister doesn't even measure up to be a minister. With the lies and deception, in your own words, you'll lose the election when the people get hurt. He signed us up to NATO, bro. That's in the North Atlantic. Making speeches at the UN, Mr. Key, you're just pedantic. Syria was gassed by the West-funded rebels, financed and trained by American devils. Want another invasion of a sovereign state, Mr. Key? With pipeline deals worth $700 billion with a B. Over here, you cut benefits and destroy the judiciary. That kind of behavior gets me feeling revolutionary. Locking up activists, surveil lawful activity. Because you want power to yourself, have it reside in exclusivity. You're not a national treasure. You're a national disgrace. Can someone please wipe that smile off his face? Now, you're a liar, I got proof. Now you have no outs. You're the Prime Sinister, of that I have no doubts. His name's John Key, the Prime Sinister. Doesn't even measure up to be a minister. With the lies and deception, in your own words, you'll lose the election when the people get hurt.
That is so good. Oh my gosh. Thanks for playing that, Steve. That was a wonderful way to end the show tonight. Vinny, thank you so much. Can you give everybody your contact information and information about how to donate and support the wonderful work that you're doing on this planet? And thank you for being here tonight.
Well, the contact information, as said before, is thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with the Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood doesn't go ahead, make my news. You can also check out realgorillamedia.com. Contact details are on thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. There's a little contact page and a bank account. as well for you to make automatic payments or donations into, and also PayPal options there as well. And encourage anybody to really donate really as much as you can, because ultimately, if you're donating to me, what you're doing is you're actually donating to pretty much every activist and whistleblower by proxy, because there's no actual favoritism. Absolutely. Really per se on the show. I let everybody on at least the once to share their story, whether or not I agree with them. I'll just, you know, be agreeable and let them have a fun time. And if it turns out they're a douchebag later on, I'll expose their scumbaggery as well, along with everybody else's. Thank you very much. I'm Vinny Eastwood. Wonderful, wonderful show here ever and on Revolution Radio on Freedom Slips. It was wonderful.
Aww, thank you so much. This has been such an honor. And you make activism look sexy. You do. And you make it look easy, which, you know, it is not. And where you get your energy and your sustainability to do the amount of work that you do is really commendable. And, you know,
it's the secret, actually. Here's the secret. It's a long lasting, sustainable energy. Lots of coffee regularly.
Yeah. And, you know, seriously, thank you to Revolution Radio for letting me have this airtime, and to Hawk for all the work that he diligently does, much like yourself. And Hawk, too, is an artist. He does all of the music intros to all of the shows. So,
does that mean when he does an advertisement, it's called an ad hoc?
Maybe. It's a nice mashup in reality, and it works. So, sure. Yeah, and I think that this is a true important topic. The creative side of activism and having an artistic expression in it is vital. It sustains a creative wave and a way of thinking outside of any box. And so thank you so much for all the work that you do and how well you do it, Vinny. I hope you have a good wedding.
We will.
Yay! Thanks for being here, guys.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your blood is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.